Hello, this is the third of the three podcasts that I'm putting out all together to kickstart this podcast series. After this, I think I'll be over my first flush of enthusiasm and I'll be able to wait until next week, and I'm quite sure you will be able to as well. At the moment, I'm trying to keep these podcasts to about 20 minutes, partly because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I really like the short ones because I have far more chance of being able to listen to something that's 15 or 20 minutes long, relatively uninterrupted, almost completely uninterrupted sometimes, which is just bliss. Whereas if a podcast is the best part of an hour, you inevitably get interrupted at some stage and you lose your thread. And I've been known to just abandon a podcast because I've had to stop and start so many times that I've just lost my thread. So I hope 20 minutes works for you. I have a tendency to ramble on, so it's good discipline for me to keep things shorter and, I hope, sweet. In the first podcast, I mentioned that we all make mistakes, and those mistakes don't just occur when you're in the process of knitting something. And I mentioned that I was making a jumper for my husband for Christmas. He, you know, quite not unreasonably likes to have a little bit of input in what I'm going to make for him. And he fancied something along the lines of a Guernsey, quite a traditional sort of style, and we hunted about, and Ravelry came up trumps again with a drops design called To the Sea. And it's very appropriately illustrated with a picture of a man looking like he's just leapt off his fishing boat, and he's sitting on the shingle, no doubt ready to, you know, have a nip of something restorative. So I spent, really quite a long time knitting this jumper. My husband is quite a large man, and knitting him a jumper is quite a lengthy undertaking, but that was fine. I was happy to give this pattern a shot. It had a nice cable down the front, it was a roll neck, it was in an Aran weight. I used the Aran cream Aran yarn that I mentioned before that I got from Aldi in these giant 400 gram skeins, £5 each, £4.99. So they were great. So I put a lot of time into knitting this jumper, and of course, being me, Christmas was looming very rapidly. But I got it done. If you look on the notes for the project on Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry, you'll see that I had a few disasters along the way as I knitted this jumper, and my biggest howler when I was making it, although the biggest howler of all comes later, was when I began to bind off for the armholes. Somehow, I don't know how I did this, but I did it asymmetrically. And I only discovered, there's a cable down the centre of the front of the jumper, and after I had bound off for the armholes, but I carried on knitting sort of the bib of the jumper for, you know, a certain distance more, I realised that after I'd done the cable bit, I was arriving at the second armpit an awful lot sooner than it took me to get from the first one to the cable. But it took a little while before I realised this, and of course I discovered that I don't know how it had come about, my counting was obviously off, and basically he had sort of, you know, one armpit down the front of his body and one where the other one should be. So that my heart really sank when I discovered that, because I'm not very good at frogging. That's something to talk about another time. But so many things that I find I would, if I was to frog, I find a need to frog, they're ribbed, and I find rib is terribly difficult for picking up stitches. If it's straightforward stocking stitch, I can manage that just about, but ribbing, I find it's just my incompetence. So I chose to tink, and I totted up, I tinked something like 3,000 stitches. I mean, how embarrassing, but that's what I did, because otherwise I felt I was just going to wreck the rest, you know, what I'd done already, if I tried to frog it. Anyway, so I got back to the point where I'd gone wrong. I also had to learn how to undo a bind off. There was a wonderful video on YouTube that I used, and when we talk about technique and go into any detail about fixing errors in future episodes, I will find that video again and give the lady concerned her proper credit, because she really saved my bacon on that. So I got over that. It's the first time I'd ever knitted proper raglan sleeves with the sort of reducing as well, you know, decreasing and so on as you set the sleeves in. And that was also quite a cerebral exercise. Got through all that, finally made the whole thing. And just as an added element to keep me on my toes, I hadn't particularly noticed, but the pattern also came with a hat, just a pretty simple beanie. But my husband said, oh, can I have the hat as well? And I couldn't really say no. So I suddenly found myself on about the 22nd of December having to knit this flipping hat. Anyway, got that done, all fine. So my husband absolutely loved the jumper. It wasn't a surprise on Christmas Day, and obviously he tried it on as it went along, but nonetheless he was really pleased with it, and you couldn't prize it off him for the next few days. I mentioned in the last podcast, when I was talking about my daughter's punk rock backpack, that one of the joys of knitting things yourself is that you can make alterations where you feel the need to make them, whether that's fit or colourway or whatever it is. And this jumper is a perfect example. Because my husband has a large tummy, I needed to make the jumper longer than it would have been. The actual width round the way was fine. I made a big enough size, but he wanted it to be long enough to be comfortable and, you know, have the look that he wanted it to have. So that was great. And even though I made a ridiculous error when I actually came to bind off for the armholes, as far as the actual length of the body went, you know, we could completely do that to suit ourselves. So he wore this jumper for several days, and then finally at some point around the new year, he said, I think it needs a wash. And thought, yeah, I think it does. So I was very careful. I washed it at 30 degrees, and that was fine. It appeared to survive the experience. I put it in the tumble dryer without a second thought. And when I took it out, it was literally about twice the size. And I read later on that tumbling relaxes acrylic yarn fatally. So that was a shame. So now it's down to his knees. And in fact, he uses it as a nightshirt. So it still has a function, but it wasn't really what we'd had in mind, and I was so cross with myself when I realised what I'd done, because it was irrevocable. There was just no turning back. Fortunately, I still have enough of this yarn that I can knit him. I could knit him about three more. I've got that much of it. But when the pressure's off for knitting for this baby, and then a friend of mine's got a birthday in June, and I'll make something for her because she's also a knitter, and she's what is termed knit-worthy, which is something to talk about another time. I'll make her something because I know she'd appreciate it. But when all that is over and done with, and when it's the summer and people aren't shivering and waiting for their new jumpers, then I will make him another go of this particular jumper, because I know how much he liked it. He's also losing weight, so it may be that we can do with a smaller size by then, and my yarn will go even further. But that was my worst knitting disaster to date. And it really taught me a lot about keeping the wrappers round a skein of yarn and paying attention to what they say. And I had also made a jumper for my daughter to her requirements. The trouble is that she's petite, but she's got hugely long legs, and it's difficult to come up with designs of things that work for her. And so I hacked it about, and I made modifications, and it was slightly dubious from when it was finished. And then by the time I'd managed to tumble that at the same time as I tumbled my husband's jumper, it was completely ridiculous, and I just sort of gave up at that point, really, and realised that I was going to have to start again making something for her, and really just abandon that jumper, because I could tell that she really didn't want to wear it. So modifying patterns is one of the great virtues of hand knitting. There's all sorts of reasons why you might want to do it. I think most typically it's because you need to fit it to a particular person, and so you may want to alter the length of a sleeve, a leg, in the case of that jumper, the body. The other reason why you might want to do it is because you want to use a certain weight. So for instance, a jumper or an item of clothing, the pattern may be an aran, but you have a DK that you want to use. So if you're using a finer yarn, and on the basis that you don't want a really open stitch, you're using a smaller needle, inevitably the overall finished article is going to be smaller. So you're going to need to increase your stitch count, and that's an art and to some extent a science all of its own. So in any given situation where you might be looking at modifying a pattern, you really have to use your own judgment as to whether that's going to be a good idea. Going back to this washcloth, which I can't stop talking about, I couldn't even tell you what yarn the pattern originally calls for. It really doesn't matter. In the case of a washcloth, you know, you need it to be big enough that it's useful. So, you know, when I started casting it on with the mercerized cotton, I soon realized that was just a non-starter. So I've chosen a different yarn. It's going to make the washcloth a certain size. As long as it's big enough to be a sensible size, it really doesn't matter. However, if you're knitting a pair of gloves for somebody, as in with proper fingers rather than sort of fingerless mittens, it could make a huge difference. So it's one of those things where you just have to decide for yourself whether it's sensible to try to modify the pattern yourself. If you look on either Ravelry or on Instagram, you'll see I've posted some photographs of some wrist warmers called the Little Houndales wrist warmers by Kath Foster. That's Kath with a K. That's also a free Ravelry download. I hunted high and low for wrist warmers. I was looking for something like that. Initially, I had thought that they'd be no use to me because I'm always cooking. I'd love to say I'm always cleaning, but it's not true. But I do what has to be done. We have hens, so I'm always backwards and forwards to the hens, and I'm always washing my hands. And because, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I have quite sensitive skin, so if I'm washing up or I'm doing housework or something like that, I have to use rubber gloves, and I put on sort of gardening gloves when I go out to the hens. So I thought fingerless gloves would be utterly useless to me because I'd continually be taking them off, or get, you know, I wouldn't dream of cooking with them on. So I'd never bothered to make any for myself, and my mother asked me last year if I would make some for her, and I'll give the details of this pattern in another podcast, but she'd found some with a sort of twisted cable, and she liked that style, so I made a pair for her and she was very happy with them, and she suggested I make some to sell in the place that we use for our knitting group. And I was happy to try that. In fact, I felt that I'd absolutely arrived as a knitter if people were asking me to make things to sell, you know, sort of next stop K facet. So I made a pair in red, but I wasn't happy with the thumb hole. I find with thumb holes, because of the way you make them, there's an inherent tendency for the knitting to pull towards the base of the thumb. And I just, I sort of looked at it and thought, no, it's fine, that's what thumb holes do. But I thought, ultimately, I just knew in the end, as far as I was concerned, no matter what anyone else said, I just didn't feel that they were good enough to sell. Mainly because I thought that thumb hole looked a bit scruffy, and they're not my strong suit. So what was I going to do? I just decided to wear them. I'd used sash yarn anyway, so they were in red. I don't wear lots of red, but I have a red cardigan that I like, as I am the queen of cardigans, and also a red, a light scarf, not a woolly scarf, you know, a sort of cotton scarf, and I wear those a lot in the colder weather because I find that having that block between me and the outside world around my neck really helps to keep me warm. So there was a place for these gloves, and I started to wear them, and at the end of the first day, I was completely converted. It made such a difference. And when I took them off, my hands felt so much colder. So I thought, well, I'm really onto something here. And the other thing is silly. I'm someone who really feels the cold, but I like 3/4 length sleeves. I think for all the reasons I mentioned before about all the things I'm constantly doing that get me wet and grubby and all the rest of it, I like not having cuffs flapping around my wrists. And so inevitably, if I'm wearing a 3/4 length sleeve dress or top and I've got a 3/4 length sleeve cardigan on top, I get this gap of 4 or 5 inches, you know, between my lower arm and my hand, and it's chilly. But I didn't want to make more in the same style, partly because of the issue with the pulling thumb hole. But also, it wasn't the style I would have chosen for myself. So I researched and researched and researched, and I finally found these little Houndales wrist warmers, and I loved them. If you look on my Ravelry project for them, I go into sort of a bit of detail about why I liked them, and I won't repeat it all here, but they were just perfect in every regard. The pattern is written in DK, but I had a sort of purplish colour that I wanted to use that was in a heavier yarn. I think it's an Aran, it's what it feels like, but it was an oddment that was passed on to me without the label. Nonetheless, even though it was a heavier yarn, I decided to make it to the stitch count given in the pattern because I don't have particularly delicate hands. I have quite broad hands, and I mean, they look sort of fairly normal, but I have largish knuckles. You know, my wedding ring... it was one we bought online. It was an older one that I liked the style of, but it had to be enlarged to get over my knuckles, so you get the idea. Even though I was using the Aran, I stuck to the DK stitch count because I thought I might need them a bit broader. I loved them. They fitted really well. Part of the beauty is that they're knitted flat and seamed, and you just don't seam for the thumb. So I didn't even have to knit a thumb hole. It was just absolutely wonderful. I thought, well, I need some more of these in another colour. And I have a greyish dress and a grey cardigan that I wear together quite often. I thought, well, I need some grey. I've also got an old jumper of my husband's that I didn't knit that's grey. I say an old jumper, it's actually quite a nice jumper, and I wear that quite often in the winter as well. And I thought, well, grey is just the obvious thing. And I've recently bought, well, over a few months, I have bought 3 sets of grey yarn from Aldi. They do a set of 4 100 gram skeins for $3.99, which I thought was a really good deal. At that price, I was happy to get a set of 4 and tuck them away in my stash. And in fact, over a couple of months, I ended up buying 3 sets of 4 because I just thought grey DK, it's a lovely shade of grey. I could see so many applications for it. So because the stitch count in Aran had fitted me quite nicely, I thought, if I do this in DK now, it's going to be a bit small. So I upped the stitch count, but in fact, I went a bit too far. So they're slightly on the roomy side now. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if I made some more of these for myself this coming winter in other colours to fit in with what I've got. Also, I may perhaps put in a bit of a pattern or something like that, but I'll have to experiment again and slightly. I think I increased the stitch count by 10 because effectively you knit a rectangle and seam it. It couldn't be simpler. So I'll reduce that by 4 or 6. The other thing I love about this pattern is that rather than having a ribbed cuff, because it's stocking stitch, both at the finger end and at the wrist end, the edge just curls over, and I love that. I get very bored doing endless rib because I do my socks toe up. The rib is the last thing I do, and you know, doing sort of my husband likes a deep rib on his socks, so doing 3 inches of 1x1 rib, I do rather lose the will to live. But you know, it's one of those things that has to be done, and I'm always glad I've done it because the socks fit nicely, they stay up well, and when I'm washing, you know, if I'm hanging them on the line, I can see how well that rib is sticking together, which is quite pleasing. So it's one of those where you get the reward for the investment of time, even though you know, endless 1x1 rib is quite dull. So if you're looking for a wrist warmer, it's the wrong time of year really, although it was snowing in Herefordshire today on the 27th of April. But if you're looking for a wrist warmer, I would really recommend The Little Houndales by Kath Foster. As I say, that's a free download on Ravelry. On my Ravelry project page for that, I show them in both the purple and the grey colourway. And in one, I have lovely red nails because my nails were really good. By the time it came to photographing the grey, they'd done what they always do after a while, which is sort of crumble and fall to pieces. So I apologise. My hands don't look as nice in the grey colourway as in the purple. So I'm coming to the end of yet another 20 minutes. I had hoped to talk a little bit about dyeing yarn, which is not something I've ever done, but I do have some yarn that would be a good candidate for dyeing, so we'll maybe talk about that in future, and also perhaps being a knitwear spotter, and that terrible cry that we all come out with sometimes of, oh, I'll make one of those for you, and what it is we bring upon our heads when we say that. So thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to leave a comment on the site, theordinaryknitter.net, or find me on Instagram or on Ravelry. I look forward to talking to you again. Bye.